Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Amen. It's good to see all of you. I can see a few new faces. Welcome. My name is Victor. And if you don't mind, please stop by at the end of the service. I'll just be around here. Come say hello. We would like to know you more. That is great. Now, before I bring the Word of God, I've got a few things I want to say. First is we've got some of our congregation members who've lost their loved ones. We've got Sister Ayo. She lost her dad. And she's traveled out of the country. She's currently in Canada. And we've got our brother Simon. He's recently lost his brother. So I just want us to stand up on our feet at this moment. The Bible says that comfort one another. And it says that with the same comfort you have received from the Lord. The Bible also says that it's better to go to the house of the mourning than the house of the rejoicing. So even after this session, after the service, if you'd like to just go and show some love to Simon, that would be absolutely wonderful. So let's just lift up our hands and direct them to Simon and also Aya, who's not here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because the Bible says that all souls belong to you. And from you we came and from you we shall return, O Lord. I thank you, Father, because of your love towards us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, because of our congregation members, our loved ones, our yoke fellows who've lost their loved ones. We pray for Sister Ayo right now that she has lost her dad. We pray that you may comfort her in the name of Jesus with your divine comfort, O God. Strengthen her and her family in the name of Jesus. Wipe their tears and, Lord, show up for them in the name of Jesus. I pray, as the Bible says, that you're the father of the fatherless, that they will experience your love, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatever is needed for whatever is going on, the interment and the funeral and everything, that, Lord, you shall provide in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for our brother Simon, now that he has lost his brother. Encourage him, Lord. Strengthen him. Comfort him. Let your grace be sufficient for him in the name of Jesus. And not just him, Lord, even the rest of his family, my Father. I pray that, God, may you wipe their tears in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that, Jesus, you're not alienated from our sufferings, but you are able to comfort and succor them who are being tempted and tried. I pray that, Lord, they will experience your love. They will experience your grace. They will experience your warmth in the name of Jesus. Wrap your hands around them today, oh God, that they may surely feel your presence together with them. And Lord, we also pray for any other person in this congregation who has lost a loved one or who is mourning or grieving. May you comfort them in the name of Jesus. I speak divine comfort, oh Lord, for them who have loved ones who are sick and who are in hospitals. I speak your healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. My God, I pray for each and every member of this congregation who's going through a difficult moment right now. May you intervene in the name of Jesus. Father God, as your servant, I refuse any attacks from the enemy in the name of Jesus. I cancel, I nullify, I quench every fiery dart from the enemy that is intended to injure, that is intended to discourage, that is intended to maim whatever the assignment. I declare it shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. I render it powerless right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray for every heavy heart. Let there be a garment of praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Praise God. Now you see, as I was praying for this service, I felt the Lord put some few things in my heart. And that is not even what I'm going to talk about this morning. But I felt the Lord ministering. For 2 nights, I woke up very early in the morning. I kept asking my wife, where's my Bible? I need my Bible by my bedside. And God kept giving me a word of a man in the Bible by the name of Jephthah. And later on, Early this morning, when I was praying and meditating upon this, God ministered in my heart so strongly, even as you have prayed for the comfort upon those who've lost their loved ones, that God is going to come and visit some people who have been so despised, overlooked, and alienated. Now, if you know the story of Jephthah, the Bible says that he was a man of valor, and then the next verse, the Bible says, but he was the son of a prostitute. That is not my sermon today. I'm not preaching. But that became his identity. No matter how strong and valiant he became, he later on became a judge in Israel, by the way. But no matter how powerful, how good, how strong he was, I felt in my heart that there are some people, they've been overlooked because of a weakness they have in their life. Because of something that is tainting their image somehow. Something that has happened in your life. Something that has happened in your family. And now people no longer identify you for who you are, but through that weakness. And God says, I am going to reverse that shame in the name of Jesus. 2025 is going to be an year where the Lord is going to reverse. Tell your neighbor to reverse. To reverse every season of shame in the name of Jesus. There shall be a turning of the tide. The Bible says the people who ejected Jephthah out of town, they later on came to him and they said to him, we want you to be our commander. We want you to be our judge. There are some people who are going to come looking for you. Amen. Some people wrote you off. They thought you will never amount to anything. They said you will never go far in life. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. They will come back to you asking for solutions. They will come back to you asking for directions. They will come back to you and ask you, how did you make it? In the name of Jesus. That is not my sermon for today. I don't want to go ahead of myself. But I feel that 2025 is going to be a wonderful year. I don't know what message Pastor Clive is going to bring next year, but I believe 2025 is going to be an year for us to increase and to flourish in every area of our lives. As I was praying this morning, God put a word in my heart about Rehoboth. You know Rehoboth? That place after Isaac and dug some wells, and then there were some disputes. Eventually, the Bible says he went to another place and he undug another well, and there was no dispute. And he says, and the name of that well was called Rehoboth. He said, God has now given us room to flourish. May God open doors for you this coming year. Academic doors. May God open opportunities that are going to even surprise you. I prophesy to you that God will open international doors for some of you. I don't know what trade you are in or what God has equipped and gifted you in. Wait and see what the Lord is going to do. If you receive it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have a passport, start applying for a passport right now. If you don't have a bank account, start looking for how to open a bank account, because I believe God is going to give us a room to flourish. We're not called to be town champions and village champions. We are called to be ambassadors. When you hear of the word ambassador, you know you are crossing a frontier. You will catch it next year, but it's fine. Praise the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, room to flourish. You shall flourish in Jesus' name. Now, I want to bring the word of God, but before I bring the word of God, I want us to do a short quiz. Are we together? Where are the youths and the young saints? All right. I can't see you. I know some people have traveled, but you've got quite a good number. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, I always say that I know my gifts, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, and I know for a fact that God has not graced me to be a Sunday school teacher or to do the young saints. So, I'm going to try to involve you as much as I can. Okay, so I know some people have that gift I don't have. Are you ready for the quiz? So we're going to do the quiz as a whole congregation, but I will give the youths, the Sunday school, or what do you call them, young saints, the opportunity to go first. All right? So as you do in school, if you know the answer, what I want you to do is to just shoot up your hand very quietly, and the first hand to go up, I will ask you to respond and to answer. Are we ready? Okay. First question. who is called the father of faith because he obeyed God? Is it Moses? Is it Abraham? Is it Noah or David? I can see Mr. Aware's hand is up, but I'm looking for young saints, youths. I can see Shagas and Isabel and Ruth are like, come on, guys, come on, guys. This is like an Ofsted visit. It's an Ofsted visit for our young saints. I don't have a timer. Okay, brilliant. Tommy, your hand was up first. Absolutely. Let's have the answer. Abraham, thank you very much. Well done. Next question. How is faith defined in Hebrews 11, verse 1? No Bibles open, please. A, trusting in God only when we see the results. B, believing everything will always go our way. C, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And D, knowing exactly how things will happen. How is faith defined in the Bible? Wisdom, I can see your hand up. Sorry? Believing, which one? B. Okay, good attempt, but not quite. Thank you very much. Kyla? Kyla says C. Okay, well done. Give us the answer. Yes, it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Thank you very much. Next question. What does 2 Corinthians 5:7 tell us about how we should live? A, by faith, not by sight. B, trust only when you can see proof. C, work without ever asking questions. D, live by rules, not by faith. Let me come now to this side. Anyone? All right. So I'm torn between, okay, and all right, okay. Your hand went up first. Okay, your hand went up first. Yes. A. Yep. So the Bible says live by faith, not by sight. Well done. Walk by faith, not by sight. Excellent. Thank you very much. Last question, I think. Yep, last question. Fill in the blank. This question goes to the people at the back over there. Without dash, it is impossible to please God. Is it Benedicta at the back there? Who's there? All right. We had one hand go up very fast here. What's the correct answer? Faith. Excellent. Yep. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're done. Brilliant. Thank you very, very much. Now, in the next few minutes, so for the adults, thank you very much. This is our family service. I'm just going to keep the kids a little bit busy so that everyone is happy. My daughter told me that when we don't go to Young Saints classes, the service is boring. And I made sure that I'm going to make it not boring. All right. So I don't know how to distribute these. I intended this to be done in groups of threes, of groups of fours. It's just a very quick exercise. It is timed. I'm only going to give you 3 minutes to do this. And the first to give us the correct answer, we call time up on this. So, Shagas, I don't know how you're going to help me distribute this. You're going to match the meaning to the term. The term is on the left, and the meaning is to the right. So first of all, give maybe one per family or one per person for those who are sitting up by themselves, just to see if they're enough. I only have about 20 copies. I think my faith was a little bit weak. I thought many people would have traveled for Christmas. But that's absolutely fine. Shagas, at the back over there, they don't have any. Kirk, do you have one? Shaggers, one over here. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to do that. So we've got some pens here, I think. I've been given some pens. Yeah, we've got some pens from the Young Saints. Please, if you don't have a pen, grab one and let's have the pens back after the service, if that's okay with you. It's all right. Sorry? Oh my goodness, that was fast, that was swift. No. Have you got a pen? Just hold on, hold on, hold on. Oh yeah. Just hold on to it. We already got some teams that have completed. Oh, some have already completed. How many? Wow, wow, wow. Done? Wow. Okay, we're going to give some people just a little bit more time so that we don't end up disadvantaging everyone. Okay, 1 minute left. And ladies and gentlemen, time is up. Time is up. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to start with a term, and then you tell me the meaning, okay? So, the first one is faithful. Who would like to tell the church what faithful means? Anyone? Yes, go for it. Excellent. A round of applause for her. Thank you very much. Well done. Well done. Well done. Okay. Let's focus on this side. Available. Available. Yeah, go for it, Shay. Yep.
Being ready and willing
to respond to God's call and the needs of others. Let's clap for her. Okay, I'm going to go all the way to the back there. What does intentional mean? What is being intentional? Excellent. Thank you very much. Let's clap for her. All right. And then what about being teachable? This part here, teachable. What does being teachable mean? Excellent. Let's clap for them as well. And obviously, last but not least, Jaden wants to go for it. What is it to have a heart for God and people? Excellent. Thank you very much. Awesome, awesome. Thank you very much. Well done, everybody. Now, that is what you're going to be debunking in the next few minutes. You can keep those papers. Thank you very, very much. Next time, I promise you'll have some prizes. All right? Okay. Now, my topic today is finishing strong. And I'm saying it's finishing strong by living by faith. So living by faith is the key to ending this year well and starting the next year strong. The Bible says the end of a matter or the ending of a matter is more important than the beginning of a matter. Now that is in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's King Solomon who said that. So sometimes it doesn't really matter how you started. What matters is how you finish. Have you at one time watched the Olympics? Have you seen some sprinters, some people who start very, very shaky, not very sure if they're going to run, but when they start doing their thing, you even get up from your seat because of how fast they go, and some even come all the way from behind and end up getting or receiving a medal. So it doesn't really matter how you start. The start is important. It's very, very good. It's good to start strong, but it's mostly important how you finish. Now, I'm going to read some verses here, then I'm going to invite some five people to come and help me here. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 to 9. The Bible says, as long as we are in these bodies, we are away from the Lord. Verse 9, it continues to say, but we live by faith, not by what we see. Verse 9 says, but whether we are at home with the Lord or away from Him, we still try our best to please Him. So what Paul is saying, he is talking in the context of persecutions and being tried and all that kind of a thing. And he says, if you are presently not in this body as a believer, it means that you are absent from this body, but present with the Lord. But he says that, because now we are here, we are not in heaven with God, then we must try our level best to still please Him. And how do we do that? He says, we live by faith, not by what we see. The next verse says, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So without faith, no one can please God. See, sometimes I struggle when I read some things because I think I've told you before that my mind is legally trained. I'm a trained lawyer. And I know when a statement is in the Word of God that gives us what we call a likelihood, a possibility, options. But I also know statements that are what we call absolute. It means there is no room for maneuver. There is no discussion. No negotiation, it is established. The matter is settled. Now, the Bible says, without faith, I like King James Version, it says, it is impossible. It is not that you can please Him to some extent, or we can have a discussion as to whether I am pleased or not. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For we must believe that God is real and rewards everyone who searches for Him. The next verse, the Bible says, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 to 2. So faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is a substance of things hoped for. It says it was their faith that made our ancestors pleasing to God. And then from there, it begins to list them. From Abraham, it goes to Noah, it goes to people like Rahab. It gives a long list of people who pleased God because they lived by faith. And not only that, the Bible also says that they had every opportunity to look back and to forget about this God thing, forget about this faith thing. But the Bible says they kept on. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God because they pleased Him. Now, that is where I want to start from. So what I want to do, I want to break down for you in the context of today's service what walking by faith means, living by faith means, as our doorway into 2025. We shall use it to reflect on how we have lived in 2024 and then use it as a basis to launch into 2025. We are starting our prayer and fasting with effect from next Sunday. All right, and it is important that we have a focus on these matters. So I'm going to request 5 people to come and stand with me here at the front. 5 people, please. Thank you very much, Sabrina. Thank you very much. I need 4 other people. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much. All right. Can someone please tell me what word do those letters spell? Yes, Kirk? Faith. So those letters spell faith. And what I'm going to do now is just to go through each and every one of those letters. I hope you're not going to get tired. I'll not keep you for too long. Okay? So the first letter we have is F. Who wants to hazard a guess what F stands for?
Faithful.
Thank you very much, Shay. Thank you very much. All right. So, Sabrina, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to read what that paper says where from your side.
Faithful, the definition, being steadfast, reliable, and consistent in fulfilling commitments and duties. Faithfulness means showing loyalty to God and others, staying true when circumstances are difficult.
Wow. So faithfulness, it means showing loyalty to God and to others and staying true even when circumstances are difficult. So I'm going to ask you a very simple question, and please do not give me an answer. In 2024, have you been a faithful person? Have you been faithful to God? Have you been faithful to your partners, spouses? Have you been faithful in your relationships? Have you been faithful to your church? Have you been faithful in your giving, in your praying, in your serving the Lord? And our prime example of faithfulness is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he was faithful all the way to the end, even to dying on the cross. And the Bible says that he is so faithful that even when we deny him, he cannot deny us because he remains faithful. Sorry, if we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are unfaithful to him, he cannot be unfaithful to us because he cannot deny himself. That is how faithful God is to you. That if you deny him, he will deny you. If you're unfaithful to him, he will still be faithful to you. Because by being unfaithful to you, he is denying himself. So my question for you today is, even with children and young people, are you faithful to God? Now, Sabrina has read for us that it's being steadfast and consistent, fulfilling our commitments and duties. Do we say we are going to do things and then fail to do them? Do we commit to serve and then we don't show up, we don't turn up. By the way, I'm not guilt-tripping anyone. I'm just making you reflect. Even at work, in your social circles, do you say you will do something in your family, then you don't do it. God is calling us to be faithful. The Bible says it's important that stewards be found faithful. God has entrusted you. You're a steward of three T's: times, treasure, and talent. And one day you will account before him how faithful you've been. All right? So Revelation 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. The Bible challenges us very much. It says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. How sweet is that? God is saying, if it was a matter of life and death, by being faithful to me, you would rather die. And then guess what? I'm going to give you back that life that you lose. Faithful. Thank you very much. Next letter, Bobby. Who wants to hazard what A stands for? Available. Thank you very much. Please read for us what it says.
Being ready and willing to respond to God's call and the need of others. It means making time for God and being there to serve others when opportunities arise, putting aside personal convenience.
Thank you very much. How many of us are available for God? Being available simply means saying yes to God. And I don't want to go to the sermon or the message that was brought by Isabel when she talked about how interruptible are you? Or are you so busy? God, not now. God nudges you on. Wake up and pray for so and so. Are you available to respond to the needs of God? The Bible gives a situation where there was a man who prepared a banquet. And he invited people, his friends, to come for the banquet, for the party. And guess what? Each and every one of the invited people gave them excuses. I've just bought a piece of land. I want to go and look at it. I have just gotten married. I'm enjoying my honeymoon. And they gave so many excuses. And then Jesus says, the man says, forget about them. Go to the highways and just get anybody you see out there and bring them to the house because the feast is ready to begin. Are you available as a vessel for God to use? So being available means that we are willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of Jesus. It means that we put God's call and his service ahead of our own needs and our convenience. It means putting aside our personal convenience and being able to say yes to God no matter the cost. I'm going to ask you a question as I go to the next letter. Have you been too busy for God? I'm going to use my kids as an example again, just as an example. Sometimes we give them snacks and some things. Right now, they are very good. But when they were a little bit younger, just for argument's sake, give them two cookies and you want to take one back from them and they will say no. They will not share with you what you've given to them. That is how sometimes we behave with God. God has given us all the time, all the resources to serve him. But when he asks us to be available for him, to pray, to intercede, to witness, to comfort, to attend, to do this and that, then we remember, oh gosh, I haven't been to Manchester. I haven't been to the seafront. It's summertime. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Oh, I'm so busy today. I'm sorry, I'm not available. God would want us to be available for him to use. Sometimes we ask our questions, why is it that we are not seeing the wonders of God? It is because God says, I looked for a man and I could find none. Just put up your hands and say, here I am, O Lord. Use me. Thank you very much. What about I? Who wants to tell us what I stands for? It means being intentional or taking the initiative.
taking action proactively and with purpose rather than waiting for direction. Being intentional involves making deliberate choices to honor God, while taking initiative is stepping forward to do what is right without being prompted.
There we go. And I'm going to keep it quick because I can see my team is getting tired a little bit. So it's taking action proactively and with purpose and not waiting for directions. The reason you have the Holy Spirit in you is that the Holy Spirit will push and propel you to act. The Bible says, and I'm going to read this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 14. Philippians 2, 13 to 14. The Bible says, God is working in you to help you want to do what pleases him. There's some version that says, it is him who is at work in you, both to will and to do. Are you listening to this, young saints, youths? God is working in you, Kirk, making you or helping you to do what pleases him. Then it says, then he gives you the power to do it. So do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without murmuring and grumbling. So being intentional is making that choice. I will honor God. I will seek God. I will serve God. I will take the initiative. I will move forward. I'll give you a very simple example. I've said, can I please have 5 volunteers? And 5 volunteers have taken the initiative to come forward. All right? I was just about to start calling people's names. You know, not calling out names. Come forward. So and so, come forward. But God does not want us to get to that point. He wants us to take the initiative and to step out. Being intentional in our spiritual lives ensures that we deepen our connection with God and experience the fullness of his presence. I'm going to ask you a question. How intentional have you been with God in 2024? Have you prayed without being called to prayer? Have you reached out to somebody without being told they are suffering or they are hurting? Have you read the Word of God without it being a Bible study? How intentional. And I gotta say this, you cannot go deeper or grow in your Christianity beyond your point of commitment. You gotta be deliberate. You got to take the initiative. You've got to ask, what needs to be done so that I can serve? What do you need to happen? We've been calling out for volunteers, and I'm not doing a campaign. We've been calling out for volunteers. You know, if we were really intentional, if you are really taking initiative, you would be saying, we have enough volunteers. Please wait for the next vacancy. Are we still together? Young boys, young girls, don't wait for your mom to ask you to get the Hoover. If you see it, fix it. Don't wait to be told to tidy up your room. Be intentional. Take the initiative. Sometimes your parents want to put their feet up and watch EastEnders if it still exists. They want to relax. It's been a very hard day at work. They want to chill out. Just make them some good dinner tonight. Take the initiative. Don't always wait to be asked. Recently, I was counseling a couple. I know you're getting tired. I was counseling a couple, and they come. Both of them come home from work, and they look at each other. It's not in our congregation. Hallelujah! I am safe. And the husband expects the wife to go and cook, and the wife expects the husband to go and cook. They're looking at each other. I've been at work, I'm tired. And I'm like, come on. In relationships, especially love and marriage, you don't give 50-50. You give 100, you give 100. And I'm like, take the initiative. And then someone tells me about love languages, you know, acts of service and all those kind of things. But take the initiative. Jaden, I'm going to ask you next Sunday, what did you do this week without being asked to? I'm not putting Jaden on the spot, but that is a message I'm going to give to each and every one of the young people here. Please, next Sunday, come and tell me what you did this week without being asked to do it. All right? Good. Thank you very much. T, Let's see what T is for. Anybody who wants to tell me what T stands for? Teachable. Karen, please.
Yeah. The definition is being open to learning, correction, and growth with a humble and receptive attitude. A teachable person is willing to listen, learn from mistakes, and apply lessons from God's word and other people.
Wow. Do I even need to emphasize that? How teachable are you? And because I want them to sit down, I'm just going to go to Shagas. Who knows what H stands for? Jaden, today you've been so active. Let's hear someone else. Jaden, pick someone else to answer. Okay, thereby not being no one. Okay, Azalea. Heart for God and people. Thank you very much. Shagas, please.
Having genuine love, compassion, and care for God and others. This means prioritizing a relationship with God and showing empathy and kindness towards others, living out the greatest commandment to love.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Keep it. Clap for them. Come on, clap for them. If it was the youths, I would have kept them a little bit longer. But just to go back to the one on being teachable, being open to learning, correction, and growth with a humble and receptive attitude. The word there is humble and receptive attitude. Young boys and girls, the youths and the children, how many of you get angry when you're told that you've got a sum wrong or you're told this is not right? You do your English, and when we mark, we say that is not the proper preposition, and we mark you. You know, I'm a teacher. And I see it sometimes, well, mine are grown-ups, but I can tell when I correct them, they don't like it very much. A few years ago, there's a student who quit my course because I referred her assignment, and she said that I told her that her assignment was not good enough, and for that reason, she felt she cannot continue with the course. And then my principal said, please withdraw her. And I was like, that is so quick. And my principal told me, if she is not willing to be corrected, she is not willing to learn. You see, there is one area that I am still waiting God for perfection in my life, and that is baking. One time I tried to bake, and my wife told me, please stick to your day job. The way in which she told me, I knew I had done some very bad work. You know, it was shoddy. But now, her and my daughter, they bake so well. But tell you what, she cannot match me when it comes to doing the roast. That's my claim to fame. But I am willing to learn how to bake. And one of them days, I know some of the cakes you'll have in the church, it will be courtesy of yours truly. Because I'm willing to learn. I don't get offended when I get corrected. Oh, okay, sometimes it's not what is said, it's how it is said. All right? So sometimes we got to do it with a lot of grace. But as believers, we've got to know that God wants to instruct and to guide us. You cannot be a disciple without discipline. Discipling means being under discipline, then you become a disciple. And I want to just share something little here and then I close it. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, we find a man by the name of Apollos. And this might apply more to the grown-ups, but the children, please stick with me. I'm coming home to you in a minute. And Apollos, the Bible says, he was a gifted preacher. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the word. He would preach and move crowds. In fact, he had a big movement. Some people used to say, we belong to Apollos. But every time he preached, there is a place beyond which he could not go. He was preaching what is called incomplete gospel. Now, Priscilla and Aquila heard him preach, and they saw the gift, they saw the eloquence, they saw the charisma. And the Bible says they called him to them. I mean, they called him and he went to them and they instructed him. They taught him. They explained beyond the baptism of John the Baptist. And the Bible says after that, Apollos went out and he preached the gospel. And this time around, he had more fruit. He went to a place called Achaia. And he preached the gospel there, that even letters of recommendations were being written, sending him out, because of how effective he became. It is not that we are not good. It is only that we need just fine-tuning and the training for us to become better. And if we're not willing to learn, we will never go beyond certain points. See, my son does piano lessons, and sometimes I eavesdrop between the conversation between him and the teacher. And the teacher will keep on guiding. He is so full of grace. He does it so well. I play piano, but I cannot teach him because I don't have that patience. You see? But the way he explains to him, he becomes better and better every single day. I don't know how many of you have ever tried teaching your spouses or your children how to drive. You need a lot of grace and patience. But being teachable is that aspect. The Bible says receiving it with humility, for God opposes the proud. If you cannot be corrected, you are too proud. And the Bible says that God opposes the proud. So I've got a few questions for you here as I move on to the next one and finish. What is your attitude towards correction? What is your attitude when being guided and being instructed? How do you react when somebody points out a character issue that you need to work on? Especially at work. Do you take it personal or do you think they're against me? What do you feel when you are admonished for something you failed to do? Or something you did not do very well? How do you respond when you are told that you haven't performed to someone's expectations? My challenge to you is, living and walking by faith means you must have a teachable attitude. You know, there are some people, when you preach in church, they start looking over their shoulders and at their neighbors, thinking, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. That would have served them very well. They think it does not serve them. You gotta be teachable. Proverbs 3, verse 11 to verse 12. Do not shun away from correction. The Bible says, my son, do not reject or take lightly the discipline of the Lord. Learn from your mistakes and the testing that comes from his correction through discipline. Nor despise his rebuke. The Lord corrects everyone he loves, just as parents correct a child they dearly love. Children, young men and women, I told you I'm coming for you. Do you get an attitude when you're told something about, I mean, somewhere you need to improve by your parents? And you sulk, you refuse to eat, you throw a tantrum, you slam the door, and you walk out. I'm not talking about you. I know I'm talking about kids who are elsewhere. The kids you have in Kingdom Faith Church are good. But what is the Bible saying? Oh, let's go back. What's the Bible saying? The Lord corrects everyone he loves, just as parents correct a child they dearly love. Now, let me tell you something. If your parents don't correct you, then we need to investigate their love for you. There is a Swahili saying, I'm going to say it in Swahili, then I will try to translate it into English. There is a Swahili saying that it's a saying, a proverb, yeah, that goes, asiyefunzwa na mamaye hufunzwa na ulimwengu. Now let me explain what that is. Swahili is a mix of Arabic and Bantu languages. That he or she who is not taught by the mother will be taught by the world. Now, the context of being taught in that sense is not that if I don't teach my kids that the world will come and teach them. No. If I don't teach my kids, then the world will correct them for me. And the context is with a whip. If I don't tell my son that you shall not steal, don't steal. If you steal it, please don't bring it here. If I don't teach him that, then he goes and steals. Then you know what's going to happen. The world will teach him that stealing is not a very good thing to do. So the point here is, if you want children, are we still here? If you want to experience the love of your parents, you must also be willing to experience their correction. You have to be teachable. And sometimes we have to say it over and over and over again. Paul says, for me to repeat these things, it's not tiresome. So I will say it over and over and over again, because I know at a given time, you will be where I am and you'll be doing it to your child as well. So the proof of love is correction. The proof of discipline is correction. The Lord corrects everyone he loves, just as parents correct a child they dearly love. Now for the grown-ups, for the adults, do we have an attitude towards God when God is correcting us? I saw a meme that was sent to me by someone from Ghana. I've always said that I love the way Ghanaians and Nigerians, they have a way they bring out matters of God that you just love it. And so this guy, he had borrowed some money from somebody. So let me just give an example of Kirk here. So Kirk borrows money from me, or comes to me for me to lend him some money. And then this man, or myself, I ask Kirk, why do you want me to interfere with what God is doing in your life? Some of you have not caught it. You will catch it on your way home. In other words, this man was saying that you are situation right now where you're a little bit financially challenged, it is God at work. And if I lend you the money, if I bail you out of that situation, I am short-circuiting what God is doing in your life. Sometimes we are too keen and too eager to assist. But other times we have to step back and let God do his work. It is good for you to go through some situations, because they will teach you how to pray. They will teach you how to depend on God. They will teach you how to trust in him. The Bible says the journey from Canaan, from Egypt to Canaan was only a very short distance, and they could have done it in a few days, but they took 40 years. And the Bible says because God wanted to test them to know what was in their hearts, and not just that, that they may also learn dependence on him. There are some situations that God is going to take you through. He's going to remove everybody you know. He is going to make phones go quiet until you learn to depend on him. How teachable are you? And lastly, it's having a heart for people and for God. So, having genuine love and compassion and care for God and others, it means prioritizing a relationship with God, and showing empathy and kindness to others. Living out the greatest commandment of love.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.